Good morning and happy Mother's Day.
Good morning, Sensei.
Throughout my life, I've always had an affinity or an attraction to water. Some kind of a harmony. So I'm going to talk a little bit about water. But in doing this, I was thinking about my relationship with water through my lifetime. And one of the things that I remembered, I used to live near the meadows that separate, you know, that go out into the Hudson River, that whole meadowland. And that was about 3 or 4 blocks from where I lived. And one day, Joe Molino and I discovered one of these big rectangular metal things that they use to mix cement in. And we pushed it into the water to see if it would float. And it did. So, I mean, it's mortifying to think about this, but we found a couple of big sticks and got into this metal cement thing, and we pulled our way around the meadowlands. And of course, there's all sorts of wildlife and everything else, but there are also a variety of currents, and some of them are sort of whirlpools. But we both lived, we both survived to tell the story. And then also when I was a kid, I used to love to throw stones in the water. Firstly, because I used to like to hear the sound of when it entered the water, that little splash sound. And the other thing was that I loved was the ripples that would go out. And as a kid, I didn't attribute any meaning to that. It was just beautiful. And then later in my life, in my 30s, I did a lot of sailing. And sailing really teaches you to be in harmony with everything, but particularly with the water. And the water has many faces. Sometimes it's rough depending upon the wind, and sometimes it's placid. And when you're sailing a boat, it's always best to be in harmony with those conditions, and particularly, in this case, the water. So there's a Zen poem that says, "In the night, dewdrops gather on the leaves, and in the morning they fall into the lake without any fuss." Beautiful. In the night, dewdrops gather on the leaves, and in the morning, they fall into the lake without any fuss. Without any fuss. Right? If the mind is still, it's just dewdrops falling into the lake. The Heart Sutra says, "Form is exactly emptiness, and emptiness is exactly form." And this intimate and simultaneous relationship also exists without any fuss. There's no problem that many forms and no forms, right? Many times the mind will say, well, how can you have many forms and no forms and there's no difference, right? But that worrying about difference, seeing that there's this and there's that, that's a fuss. And when we fuss, we miss the truth. So if we pay attention to water, we'll see that it is actually a remarkable metaphor for the relationship between form and emptiness. If we think about it, water is originally empty. It has no form. Yet at the same time, it has the capacity to assume a myriad of forms. It can be a mountain lake, a dewdrop on an oak leaf, a glass of lemonade, or an icicle hanging from the roof just outside the bedroom window. It can also express itself as a solid, such as an ice cube, as a liquid, like the tap water running into the sink, or a gas, like the clouds obscuring the evening sunset. In spite of the various forms that it can assume, it's still fundamentally water, which is intrinsically empty or non-form. Isa wrote, "From white dewdrops, learn the way to the pure land." If we really pay attention to water, we will understand the relationship between form and emptiness. Dogen uses water as a metaphor in a slightly different way. And he writes, "Enlightenment is like the moon reflected on the water. The moon does not get wet, nor is the water broken." So these two faces don't disturb each other, right? The moon is reflected on the water, but it doesn't disturb the water. And the water doesn't disturb the moon. They live in perfect harmony together. Although its light is wide and great, the moon is reflected even in a puddle an inch wide. Right? So size has no effect on the relationship between form and emptiness. The whole moon and the entire sky are reflected in dewdrops of grass, or even in a drop of water. Right? So that's what they mean, you know. If you think about looking at nighttime, you can see this dewdrop, you can see the stars, you can see the moon, you can see the sky in this single dewdrop. That's why we can say that this striker is the whole universe. How can it not be the whole universe? If there is no separation other than what's created by the mind, each of us is the universe. This striker is the universe. Everything is the universe. Right? So that dewdrop contains the entire universe because it is the universe. Dogen continues, however long or short its duration manifests, the vastness of the dewdrops and realizes the limitless of the moonlight in the sky. Now, I would encourage each of you to study water. Let water become your koan. Dive in, get wet, let it soak in and become familiar with its essence. Water offers a wonderful teaching about the nature of reality. And there is an old Zen saying, don't confuse the finger pointing at the moon with the moon itself, however. That is, the use of metaphoric description can be helpful in giving us a sense and even a visceral feeling of what the words are seeking to express. In this case, form is emptiness and emptiness is form. This kind of understanding is helpful, but it's also limited. And this is why we practice Zazen. Zazen eventually leads to the direct experience of what the metaphor is pointing at. I personally love ice cream, and because of that love of ice cream, if I took you aside, I could give you a wonderful, a delicious description of chocolate chip ice cream. But you really will not know the truth about ice cream. You'll get a feeling for it, you might relate it to your own experience. But to really know ice cream, you have to taste it. So to really understand that water is the entire universe, you have to taste it. But not in the literal sense of taking a glass of water. You have to become water. Right? There's nothing more intimate than becoming that water. And if we become water, we realize that water is the universe, the entire universe. So I'm going to end with my old friend Basho, a poem that I love the most, which is "The Old Pond, a Frog Jumps In, Splash." That frog is one with that old pond. The frog does not create frog and pond. There's just splash. Thank you.